To God be the glory. I do appreciate the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And my friends, may that be our glory, is His sacrifice. May that be our victory, His resurrection. To know that Jesus Christ lives even today. And I hope this would encourage you, my friends, this morning's message from God's Word, of course. The greatest thing about being saved. Glad you're saved? Amen. And my friends, if you're here, if you're not saved, today, it's always the best time to be saved, right now. To know that we are sinners, deserving a devil's hell. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A joy to know that by faith alone, God gives grace. We receive His grace by faith alone in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can be saved forever and know it. And so the greatest thing about being saved, you know, it's being saved, that's beyond amazing. I hope today from the Word of God will remind us just how wonderful it is and how much of a privilege it is to be saved. And not just being spared the horrors of hell. I mean, that, don't get me wrong, that is top tier, that's S tier, okay? Not to burn in the devil's hell, okay? But can you imagine something even greater than not burning forever in hell? Because that's what God has in store for us because of our salvation. God just didn't save us from something, which is hell. He saved us for something. God saved us, yes, from the fires of hell, from our sin and our trespasses, our iniquity, God's wrath. But God also saves us for fellowship with Him. This is huge. And the whole message of the Bible, yes, that we need to be saved and only saved by believing in Jesus Christ, but that God is not just knowable, He is fellowshipable. Okay, that's not maybe a word, okay, but what I'm saying is that the idea is not that we can intellectually know God, but the whole message of the Bible is that we can know God intimately and have fellowship with God. Yes, I know it's a joy to be spared the terrors of hell. So no pain. If you're saved, we won't go to hell. If you're not saved, you die and will go to hell. Okay, so please be saved. But if you're saved, there will be no pain, no suffering, no darkness, no burning. Praise God. But can you imagine if we died and, okay, we're saved, so we didn't go to hell, but we kind of just hang out by ourselves forever? Well, now, that's not very fulfilling, is it? Right? No, it's not. And it isn't fulfilling to God either. And that's why He desires to save us from hell, but to save us for fellowship with Him. And we don't have to wait till we're in glory to have fellowship with God. We can have it right now. That's why when we are saved, God calls us a child of God. We're born again into the family of God. That shows eternal relation, eternal salvation with God, who's our Father. That will never change. But when we are saved and born again, the Bible also calls us friends of God. Now, this shows fellowship. It shows fellowship. You know, we are, yes, commanded to love our enemies. But who do we fellowship with? Who do we hang out with? Who do we have fun with? Our friends. Our friends. And I want us to consider this word fellowship. If you're saved, but not really fellowshipping with God, my friends, you are missing out on the most fulfilling joy in all of existence. If you're saved, I rejoice with you. Hallelujah. We will never taste of hellfire. Praise God. But if we are not fellowshipping the way we ought to, the way that God desires, we are missing out. So don't miss this. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, towards the end of the Bible, not the gospel of Jesus according to John, not the book of John, but 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, so the first epistle that John penned. Now, this is to, you know, tradition says the church is there in Asia Minor, but certainly applies to all of us. God is writing to you and I. So 1 John, let's go to chapter 1, verse 1. We'll start there. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1. And the Word of God says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought to be in thy house this morning. I thank you, Father, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you, Father, even for the precious souls, Lord, that just came in, Lord. I just pray that the Word of God would go out in Holy Spirit power, that you continue to draw sinners to thyself. Thank you for those who are here, Father. We ask even now that we would dedicate this time to the praise and worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation. But Father, thank you also for the invitation of fellowship. And we ask you, bless now this time, Holy Spirit of God, speak from my words, Lord, that hide me behind the cross, and that you be glorified in all that is said and done, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is a very wonderful epistle written by John, the beloved apostle. Of course, it's God writing to you and I. But it's a very intimate and very personal request that God is using John to transcribe his word. It's not written by John, it's written by God, and John transcribed it. But John here wants to share something. Of course, we have not had the privilege of living in a time when Jesus walked the earth. Okay, now John had that privilege. Now he's going to link a tremendous truth for you and I. If we go to verse 1, again, John is speaking about verse 1 and verse 2 about God, right? So let's go to verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, right? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, who? God created the heaven and the earth. And so he's talking about God, the eternal God, okay? God who's out there. God that precedes time. God that made time, that has no beginning or ending. So that which was from the beginning. So he's talking about God Almighty, which we have heard. That's pretty crazy. He's heard God, which we have seen with our own eyes. Now, we weren't there, John was, but he's telling us this. So I've heard God, guys. I've seen him, which we have looked upon. Okay, so he's not just talking about just looking up in the heavens and, oh, I think I see God up there somewhere. No, he's speaking about a tangible manifestation of God in human form. Of course, he's speaking about Jesus, but this is how he describes him. So hope you get excited with me as we read what John is sharing, because John is excited to tell us this. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. I like to imagine that, you know, he laid on Jesus' breast, right, during the Lord's, the Last Supper. I like to imagine they walked together. I don't know if they high-fived together, okay, but what I'm saying is he was in person with God. And then he describes Jesus of the Word, capital W, that's in John, the book of John, 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, that's capital W. The Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, the living Word, the eternal Word. So this very same Word of life. Verse 2, for the life was manifested and we have seen it. It's like, guys, I saw God. Okay, he's telling us this. And bear witness, and he's swearing to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And he's swearing that he saw God. He saw the Word manifested, becoming flesh. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Eternal life is in the Son of God, which was with the Father, eternally with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Jesus Christ came down from the Father, right? Okay, so verse 1, verse 2, he's speaking about Jesus Christ, the eternal living Word. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. So he wants to tell us about this Jesus, that ye also may have fellowship with us, so that we can believe like he does, okay, so that we can be of like-minded with John and the apostles. And in fact, by doing that, and this was part of Jesus' prayer in John 17, right, we believe on him through the words of his apostles, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is amazing. Our salvation is not just for salvation's sake. God didn't save us just to save us and spare us from hell. He saved us for fellowship. And John is saying, hey, just as for three and a half years, he walked side by side with Jesus. They dined together. They sang hymns together. They prayed together. I mean, that sweet fellowship, it wasn't just on paper. It was in practice. And John wasn't just saved. He had fellowship. And so this is, salvation is the start of our relationship with God. But God saved us for fellowship. Now, when we have close fellowship, fellowship meaning friends, close communion, continual interaction. Okay, that's fellowship. You know, we have our, what we call it, our fellowship Sunday, right? That's our last Sunday of the month. We have a pot, blessed food, and fellowship. You know, it's, I mean, we don't just say it for fun. We're actually conversing. You know, I enjoy it. The fellowship with God's people. We're here. We've got good food, good fellowship. And so it's actual live interaction that's happening, right? We're not just in a movie theater. We're kind of sitting down by your neighbor, but the movie's done. Everyone gets up and kind of leaves. There's no interaction. There's no fellowship. Okay, so a crowd is not the same thing as a church. A church is, of course, the living church of God by born-again believers assembling to fellowship and worship God, but also love each other and fellowship with another. That's wonderful. So John here, he's writing. First John is to believers. It's to believers. It's not to unbelievers. They're already saved. They're already children of God. So you can't get any more saved. Once you're saved forever. You're saved and that's it. I mean, not say that's it. That's all of it. But beyond salvation, it's fellowship. So 1 John is all about fellowship. Now, sin will, you know, mar that fellowship, but that's what he's talking about. So verse 4, when we have fellowship with the Lord, as John does, okay? And these things write we unto you. This is the reason why 1 John was written. You ready for it? That your joy may be full. For us to have full joy. Now, these are to Christians. These are to believers. So the idea is this. If you're saved, but not really having the most fulfilled joy in your life, perhaps we're kind of down, in fact, maybe sad, I don't know, discouraged. If we're saved, but our joy isn't as full as it needs to be, it's because we're not fellowshipping enough with God. That's what John is saying. Because when we fellowship with the Lord, not just know Him intellectually, and not even just saved, but when we fellowship with God, let that sink in. I mean, the God of the universe, when we fellowship with Him, that brings us joy that nothing else can even come close to comparing to. Salvation is so much more than just being saved, okay? I think of I don't know, my mind kind of wanders sometimes. I think of a stray puppy, okay? Maybe you happen upon a stray puppy at the pound, okay? The puppy's in the pound, it's going to be put down, okay? And you're like, oh, your heart just goes out to the little puppy or cat, if you're a cat person, okay? But stray cat or puppy, and you're like, oh, I can't bear to let this little cat, little puppy get euthanized. You know, I don't want to get killed. I'll free him. But not just buying to free the puppy. You're going to adopt the puppy, bring it to your home, and then love the puppy. I'm not saying we are puppies, we're sheep, right? Okay, but the idea is this. God didn't just save us to spare us death in hell, second death. He saved us for fellowship. Let me just speak from the heart a little bit here. For the last maybe about a month now, I don't see my wife here, so I'm going to speak about, we've been really blessed. My wife and I, we got a new date night activity that we do, and I'm just going to share candidly, you know, we've been going door dashing, okay? And we would drive, before this, my wife and I, you know, we would try to find time to kind of spend by ourselves, and many times we would be driving around, but we're just too tired to go eat out, okay? So we just drive around, don't go anywhere, but it's just the time that two of us can spend together. And then recently, it was brought to like, hey, why don't we DoorDash and do something together? And so all we do is just deliver people's food, okay? It's not very glorious. It's not, you know, but to me, it is one of the highlights of spending time with my wife. I feel like we're on that Amazing Race reality show, you know, it's you know, like, because we're going down, we're driving, take a right here, you know, no, not like that, okay, we try to do it, you know, safely, okay, but we do it, and then the bonus, the cherry on top is, you know, we do earn some money, and then we just put that for camp, or whatever, okay, but what I'm saying is, the time I spend with my wife, that's just precious. Now, we are married legally. We are married on paper. But just because I'm married to my wife doesn't mean I'm having fellowship with her. And when we do our DoorDashing, you know, it's sometimes you go solo, sometimes you rotate the kids, you know, kind of a, you know, one-on-one time, whatever. But when my wife and I are doing it together, that's a blessing. Because I'm enjoying her company. So I'm going to drop you right here. I'll wait for you. You know, sometimes I'm not going to tell you what I, you know, I do not park in handicapped spots. I don't do that. But I'm just saying, I drop her right by the door. She kind of goes in and look around, you know, come on, we got to go, good, go. You know, and so it's a joy just to spend time together. And that's what we do. That's kind of our date night activity. We don't go to movies. I can't remember the last time we went to one. It was a long time ago. I don't remember what movie it was. Maybe last year. But we rarely go. Even that was an anomaly. But it's I enjoy having fellowship with my wife. And I want us to understand that relation is there. But the fellowship is not always there. When we are saved, we have a relation with God. He's our Father. But it's not the same as fellowshipping with God. And that's exactly what John is writing here. Because John was close. I mean, sometimes you can say, well, he kind of felt special. I mean, he was special because God called him the Beloved. I mean, imagine a way to describe yourself. Yeah, I'm John, the Beloved of God. I'm like, man, you didn't think he was so... Well, that's because that's how close he was with God. That's awesome. And it's not a secret. The truth is, we're all the Beloved. Okay, but sometimes you don't feel like we're the Beloved, right? But sometimes you feel like we're the sidelined, right? You can ask a spouse. It's easy to feel sidelined. Like, hey, I thought I was more... I thought on our wedding day, I thought I'll be the focus of your life. Now I'm just going to marginalize. No, and God feels that way. God has feelings. And when God saved us, he saved us for fellowship. And so if fellowship is so awesome, why do we not do it as much, right? If fellowship is so great, why do we oftentimes fall short of that? Well, short answer, sin. The short answer is sin. Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so, Jesus, of course, the Lord is holy. And for me to have fellowship with the Lord, I have to live in holiness. And while my spirit yearns for that fellowship, my flesh hates it. Because my flesh, your flesh, loves to sin. Your flesh and my flesh cannot be saved, was never saved. It's condemned, and his flesh has to die. When God saved you, he saved your soul, your eternal, your true you. In fact, I heard it said one time, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. The real you is your eternal soul. And you're kind of just living in your body, okay? But your body's going to die. His body's cursed. It's marred. It's sin. And then God is going to give us a new body. But until then, your soul is saved and forgiven. Your spirit is regenerated. Praise the Lord. And your spirit yearns for fellowship with God. Your flesh yearns to sin away from God. You as your soul, the true you, and I kind of have you have this battle going on. Who am I going to cast my ballot for today? Who am I going to go with today? Am I going to go with my flesh and then sin and then regret it later? Or am I going to go with my spirit and fellowship with God, get right with God, spend time with God, and then praise God for it? Hey, amen. And so that's the daily battle. And so Jesus is holy, he's pure, his light, there's no darkness at all. If I'm going to have fellowship with God, it takes effort. It's not something I just kind of ease into. The only thing we ease into is sin, right? And so it takes conscious effort. It's a battle. Let's go to verse 6. If we say, talk is cheap, we can just say this. And sadly, perhaps too many of us, and too often the time, we just say that we have fellowship with God, but we're not quite there. It's like saying, you ever get that, is it on, you know, Facebook, you know, where you have, I don't know, this husband and wife, they're just saying all the nicest thing about each other, and the next thing you know, they say, well, we're breaking up. I'm like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Because we can say all we want. Talk is cheap. And how's our fellowship with God? Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Now the word of God is calling us out. We what? We lie. We're lying. If I say I'm God and I are like this, He saved my soul, I love Him so much, I'm with Him all the time, you know, but I'm living in sin. Yes, I'm saved. Hallelujah. But I'm lying as far as my fellowship. I have no fellowship with God because I'm living in sin. You can't have both. We lie and do not the truth. It's specific wording here. We do have the truth, but we're just not doing it. Okay, so we're not obedient children of God. We are saved. We are a child of God, but we're not obedient to our Lord. And so too often times, this lie happens way too often. Too easy for Christians to just talk the talk, right? And sometimes this lie, not just are we lying to others, we are lying to who? Ourselves, and we're lying to God, you know. And this lie can go on forever. It could be years. We just sang this morning. It wasn't planned this way, but out of our three songs this morning, two of them were by Fanny Crosby. And I kind of looked up Fanny Crosby. You know, we've heard of her testimony before. She's a tremendous child of God, testimony of a woman of God. She's known as one of the great hymn writers in ever. And now she's old school, okay? She was born in 1820, okay? So a long time ago, 1820. So that's what, over, is it 205 years ago? Okay, so 1820. But I have a little blurb here about Fanny Crosby. Of course, she's the beloved hymn writer. She was blinded as a baby. And so she was just merely weeks or months old where she had some kind of eye disease or infection. And then because of mistreatment or whatever, she ended up being blind. But yet the Lord used her to write over 8,000 hymns. And some of the testimonies would say she would write even 7 hymns a day, you know, in her prime. And some of her hymns, we might recognize the titles from our songbook, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Now, these are the words of a blind woman. Blessed Assurance, He Hideth My Soul. I Am Thine, O Lord, you know, draw me nearer, nearer. Jesus is tenderly calling you home, my Savior first of all. Near the cross, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Rescued the perishing, safe in the arms of Jesus, saved by grace. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. And then the one we just sang earlier, To God Be the Glory. That's one of her. The music is by someone else, but the words are hers. So despite being blind as a baby back in 1820, Fanny Crosby expressed profound gratitude for her blindness, believing it was intended by God as providence to allow her to focus on God's will. And she is quoted saying, I could not have written the thousands of hymns had I been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice. One of her most profound personal experiences with the Lord happened when she was when she surrendered to the Lord at the age of 31. Now, she was already, you know, a believer. She wasn't, you know, she certainly didn't reject the gospel. She was a believer. But during this revival service, and when the invitation was given, they sang, Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. On the last stanza, when they sang, Here, Lord, I give myself away, this all that I can do. That's when it happened. The Holy Spirit of God convicted her heart, and she gave herself to Jesus. She said, For the first time, I truly realized that I had been trying to hold the world in one hand and the Lord in the other, trying to kind of straddle the fence. And that was the first time that the Lord convicted her. She heard it many times before, but that was when it became real. And that was when she decided to let go of the world, launch out into the deep, and just grab a hold of the horns of the altar, right? Just grab a hold of the Lord and give her life to the Lord. Amen. And what a blessing she was. Not to be, and Scripture tells us not to be a respecter of person. It's not for us to go, wow, look at her. It's for us to go, wow, look what God can do with a yielded vessel. God can use anyone in that capacity to have fellowship with God. And that was how she spent her life. In darkness to the world, but with the light of the Lord. Because if you look at verse 7, and verse 7 reminds me of Fanny Crosby. Verse 7 describes a Christian who is walking in sweet fellowship with God. That's verse 7. And so that's where we want to be. We want to get up to verse 7. Now verse 8 and 9 tell us how to be in verse 7. But verse 7 is the end game. But if we walk in the light, not just a one-step thing. It's easy to do a step. It's a walk that that we need God's grace for, to walk in the light, continually in the light. Amen. To be yielded to Him long term. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, Jesus is not going to, you know, come out of the light into darkness to fellowship with us. He loves us. He invites us to walk with Him. But if we want to have fellowship with God, we got to step into the light, right? Not stay in our darkness. That's just being deceived by our flesh. That's being deceived by Satan. If we, the darkness can give us, you know, the world, sin is pleasurable to the flesh, but only for a season. The world can try to trick us. It's kind of like getting high on drugs. You might feel good, but you're actually dying on the inside. It's like taking sweet poison, but then you're going to perish later. Okay, and so don't be deceived by the world. It might make us feel good, but we're just killing ourselves. True joy, for our joy to be full, comes from fellowship with God. And this is all possible because of Jesus Christ, what He did for you and I. He saved us from our sin and hell, but He saved us for fellowship with Himself and God the Father. So if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship. That's wonderful. One with another. This is us and God. So walking hand in hand with the Lord. Think of Enoch in the Old Testament. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is awesome. Okay, so this Christian that's described here, this joyful Christian, enjoys sweet, continual fellowship with God because whenever this Christian of verse 7 sins, whenever he commits and messes up and sins, okay, God forgives that sin. The sin in verse 7 is not for salvation. The sin in verse 7 is for fellowship. And that's a wonderful thing to be in the light. And then whenever I would fall and get caught, or I trip and stumble at some sin, verse 8 and 9 tells us how to get back in the light. Okay, but that is the whole emphasis. That God is so gracious that He continually forgives my sin that separates me from God, not relation, that never changes, but fellowship. Because that fellowship can be strained, it can even be broken by sin, even though that relation never will be broken. Once saved, always saved. Verse 7 is not talking about salvation, talking about fellowship. The whole letter is talking about fellowship, okay? Well, how does that happen? Well, it takes humility, it takes repentance. Look at verse 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin... Now, this is the one that in verse 6, we're just going to lie in, okay? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if I say, no, I'm good with God, I never falter, that's a big, fat lie. I'm lying right there. If we confess our sin, so instead of deny it, confess it, this is for believers only. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. This is awesome. I can't overstress this is for believers, because no unbeliever ever gets saved by confessing their sin. An unbeliever only gets saved when they confess Jesus Christ as Lord. They believe in Him as the Lord and Savior. All their sins are forgiven. Once you're saved, then we confess our sin, okay? And it's not to man, not to a priest, this is to God. If we confess our sins, He is always faithful. Doesn't matter what unrighteousness I've done. Doesn't matter how much I've dragged His name through mud. Doesn't matter how much I've broken His heart. And this is the Lord that loves us so much. This is the Lord this is Fanny Crosby's Lord who she gave her life to. This is the same Lord that you and I serve by God's grace, can fellowship with. If is on us, never God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, Christians can sin. In fact, Christians do sin. And in fact, this sometimes can be a kind of a somewhat common stumbling block, maybe for some Christians, perhaps if you wrestle with eternal security, or maybe sometimes Christians, you know, they doubt their salvation. You know, maybe sometimes we think, why do I sin so much? why do I keep struggling with sin? Maybe, why am I not like this Christian? Why am I not like Paul? Why am I not this way, that way? Maybe I'm not transformed enough. Maybe I wasn't fully converted. And then I try to read the scriptures to get some encouragement. And then I read something like 1 John 3:6, and then I get even more confused and discouraged. In fact, let's turn there. Let's go to 1 John 3:6, because this is worth mentioning. 1 John 3:6. And so just two chapters over, same book, says, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." And so I read that and I go, okay, that's great. You got John 15, you got to abide in Christ, I get it. And then the rest of the verse, "Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." And I go, oh, wait a minute. I've sinned. Does it mean I'm not saved? Uh-oh. Wait. But if I say I don't have sin, I deceive myself. Oh, wait. Okay, what when you read it in context, 1 John 3:6 is speaking about a long term, a lifestyle. It's God is trying to show the difference between a false professor whose lifestyle is characterized by continual and unrepentant sin, which is not the same as a Christian falling into temptation, sinning, and then regret sinning. A false professor, which is being singled out here by scriptures, a false professor enjoys sinning, has zero desire to overcome their sin, has no guilt, has no remorse, has no conviction, has no repentant heart. In fact, when you rebuke an unbeliever in their continual habitual sin, they'll say, no, it's not a sin. Okay, there's no tenderness, and they scoff at rebuke. And so this is exactly who John is calling out here, the false teachers, the false professors who have no conscience that has been seared away, that when they are in sin, they don't feel bad about it. Okay, he's not talking about a Christian who sins, and because we all sin. That's what 1 John chapter 1 is all about. We all sin. But when we do, as a bona fide, born-again child of God, when we do sin, it is, of course, sin is pleasurable to the flesh for a season, but after that we feel what? Horrible. We feel horrible. That's from the Holy Spirit. Because you've hurt our Lord. We've betrayed his love. Remember Peter? When he denied the Lord three times, the Lord looked at him. He didn't jump for joy. He ran out and wept bitterly. Okay, because sin will do that to a believer. But this is speaking about one that continually, just like, if you look at verse 6, whosoever abideth, abideth is a long-term thing. And so abiding in sin as opposed to abiding in Christ, okay? Abiding in sin, continually living in sin, no repercussion, no conscience, that's the proof that they are not saved, never were saved. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 7, let's turn there real quick, I want to be mindful of time, but look at Romans chapter 7 with me. Romans chapter 7. And here Paul says this. Romans chapter 7, of course, we know Paul, of course, is saved by the grace of God. Romans chapter 7, let's look at verse 18. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Even Paul, yes, struggled with sin in his flesh. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, again, your flesh is sinful, it's cursed, it's sinful, and never gets saved, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You won't find anything that's God-pleasing in our flesh. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Like, ah, oh, I didn't want to do that, yet I did it. Come on. Now, if I do that which that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Yes, it's his flesh, but his flesh will one day die. You and I, my friends, one day this flesh, this robe of flesh will bury, will decompose. Your true self, our eternal soul, will be with the Lord, and God will give us a new body that's incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 15, a perfect body. That's amazing. That is not marred by sin. That is amazing. Don't let our pride prevent us from coming to repentance to the Lord. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Of course, if we confess our sins, verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, that it is again verse 8 and verse 10 go together, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. God doesn't want us to sin. Our sin, even though it pleases the flesh, is never worth it. it will mar and separate our fellowship with God, wherein is true joy. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That is amazing. He's our advocate, our lawyer. Okay, so he represents us. And so he will remind God, I will never leave nor forsake us. He will never do that to us. That we are his, we've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ, and it says, and he is the propitiation, the payment for in full for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That is amazing. Jesus Christ saved us for fellowship with him. This is what God desires. Spend time with the Lord. It takes effort. It takes humility. It takes repentance and confession when there's things that we know that we aren't doing. God misses us. The Lord misses us. He loves to have fellowship with you and I. When we have this fellowship with God, our joy, this is a supernatural joy that the world, Jesus says, the world cannot take away. He told his disciples, persecution is going to come, right? He told them, times are going to be hard. But think about this. He said he will never leave them nor forsake them. What is the consequence of that? We can have forever what? Fellowship. Forever fellowship. One of my greatest joys that I've always desired when I remember, can't wait to marry my wife, because we would be courting, and the day would be great, but the day would always end the same way, which I did not like. I had to say bye to her. And, of course, I'd go home and then call her. And then, of course, you go to hang up. Ugh, I didn't want to hang up. Let's just put it on speakerphone. We'll just, you know, no. But that's fellowship. I enjoy spending time with my family. Bedtime can be a little extreme sometimes. Meaning a couple of hours, because I'm with them in the bottom bunk. We have a little twin size mattress, but it's me and I don't know four kids in there. Okay, so we're all kind of piled in. But the little ones, the younger ones, I'm just saying it's the fellowship, the relation never changes. They're my children, but the fellowship depends how close you are. If you're saved, the Lord is your forever Lord. But that fellowship changes. He wants to spend time with you. Sin will keep us away. It will deceive us, and then we'll regret it. And then we say, oh, why isn't my... And it's a downward spiral. I don't have that joy of fellowship with the Lord, and so I'm more inclined to sin. But when we walk with the Lord, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, whenever I mess up and I'm quick to repent, the blood of Jesus Christ, of course, saves me from all my sins. What a joy. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a comfort, what an awesome thought, Lord, to know that you saved us from hell, our sin, but you also saved us for fellowship, Lord. That's the takeaway, Lord. May we be reminded just how wonderful it is to fellowship with you, to talk to you all day. I think even of the songwriter that said that you walk with him, you talk with him, and that you tell the songwriter that the songwriter is your own. And the joy that they share as we tarry there in the garden, none other shall ever know. The fellowship that we have with you, Father, it's unique. And it's special to you and I. And no one else can know the joy of it, but everyone can have their own joy. So, Father, help us to repent of our sins. Help us to have close walk and fellowship with you. We thank you for the privilege. The greatest thing of being saved is our fellowship with you in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we're about.